RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at cabelas.com.
And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com.
And by Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking to Evan Schmarter, creator and host of the RV Cooking Show. Last time we chatted, Evan taught us the basics of great campground grilling. So now we invited her back to teach us the fancy stuff. Sauces and marinades.
Evan is going to help us stock the RV pantry and whip up flavorful dishes that will wow your family and friends.
You might think that easy campground cooking leads to bland and boring dinners, but we know that a smartly stocked pantry and some go-to recipes will up your RV game. You are listening to episode 101, Sauces and Marinades 101 with Evan Schmarter.
Before we head into this week's RVFTA News Roundup, we need to thank our friends at Progressive Insurance.
When you are out on the road traveling and your RV breaks down, Progressive's roadside assistance will help you get your RV started or provide towing to the nearest qualified repair facility. Learn more by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV today.
What would you do if we broke down and Flo showed up?
Gosh, how perfect would that be? We should probably put in a request for that.
Do you think she does that? I think she probably used to do it, and now they don't make it.
She's too big. Are you kidding? Yeah, she's got that in her contract. It's like a rider. It's like, I do not show up at roadside assistance calls.
But we show up at the Progressive RV. So we were at the Balloon Festival not too long ago, and we will be at the Hershey RV Show from September 14th to 18th. RVFTA will be hanging at the Progressive RV for all 5 days of the Hershey Show. We will post hours at some point before the show of when we'll be there. We would love for you to stop by and say hello, chat RVing, and we'll get you some free Progressive swag. We'll sign your books too if you want.
We will. We'll be in a video with you. Will we be in a video with them?
I would totally do it. If a podcast listener showed up, I would totally do one of the green screen videos with them.
Yeah, we have way too much fun doing those.
But it's
videos.
Not green screen. It's real. You really
right.
are being
no,
chased by
yeah.
a bear.
There's nothing fake about it. And there's other ones that nobody even saw. Because we didn't even post them on our Instagram. There's other fun ones, too. There's 6 total you get
but
to choose from.
That's a
from.
Great idea. When the podcast listeners show up, if they're game, one of us will do a video with them.
Yeah. They're like, you know what they'll do? They'll look at us and be like, we are not as goofy as you.
No, our podcast listeners are actually as goofy as us.
Are they?
I
you
think that
they
we're
are?
Learning
I don't
that.
Know.
Smart, you know, cerebral, very okay. attractive, but goofy.
I think it's funny because last year we were at the sort of two competitive RV shows, right? The Florida RV Super Show and the Hershey RV Super Show. And we're back at both of them this year. And I think that maybe this year, you know, they say who's bigger, who's bigger. I think maybe this year we should like take like
count
measurements.
The RVs. Well, maybe we should count the RVs.
Maybe we should make that as part of our
visiting would lose,
plan.
I would lose count.
Yeah.
I'd get to something cool and I would be like, totally forgot.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know which one is bigger. I've been to both, and they're both really big. But we are also going to be at the Florida RV Super Show from January 18th to the 22nd, okay, in 2017. We're looking way ahead. But definitely you have to put that on your calendar. And they're going to start taking registration for camping at the fairgrounds. You can camp at the fairgrounds, and we'll let you know as soon as that registration's open.
Yeah, and both RV shows are like big parties. So you really want to get to both of them if you can.
Yeah, come see us at the Progressive RV at the Hershey Show and then at the Florida RV Super Show. We're just going to be like running around having fun.
And recording a podcast.
Yes,
live from the Florida RV Super Show.
Yeah, that was super fun.
And you know what? Downtown Tampa, lovely.
It was.
Lovely city. I was so impressed with downtown Tampa. We didn't go down there for very long. I hope that this time we get to spend a little bit more time in Tampa.
Yeah, we did not get to do a lot of sightseeing when we were there, but we did a little. And there was a local person who we were in contact with. We went down there and we were talking to her when we first got down there. She's like, she was a lifelong resident of the area and she really made some recommendations to us in every
spot
single one.
Girl.
We really enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah, so, Buddy Bro. I want some Buddy Bro coffee.
That's where I got my avocado toast.
Yeah, avocado toast and Buddy Brew coffee.
Perfect.
So hipster, hipster delight.
Yeah, that is a hipster comment on the RV Family Travel Atlas podcast. But hey, we got a little hipster in us. A little, very, very little bit. Okay, so I want to talk about a couple forum threads of the week. I couldn't pick just one this week because it's been a little while since we've talked about them. But I want to say that if you just listen to us, you should probably add our forum into your life plan because we have a lot of listeners who are really smart and have a lot of advice to give. And they give it over on our forum in a really nice way.
They give it freely.
Yeah.
And with grace and style.
Every time I go over to our forum and I'm looking at a certain topic, or I'm like, look at all of these answers from people who are just helpful and nice. It really was our goal in establishing it. So it's kind of nice to see it kind of pan out. But so one of the forum threads, I just want to give a shout out. You know, last month we had an episode about mobile RV repair. And somebody immediately put up a thread about the podcast episode. And they said, like, thank you so much for this episode. It was so helpful. And we really felt that way about the episode, too. I mean, we were so pleased to have them on the show from Quality Mobile RV Repair. And they just educated our listeners and they educated us.
Oh, they'll be back on.
So,
if they will, we'll have them back
on. Oh, absolutely. We're going to beg them to come back on because they were just great. So anyway, in this thread, not only did some people say, oh, I'm going to go clean my air conditioner coils, or thank you so much for telling me this. Well, then there was Carrie Cox, who said she actually found a mobile RV repair near her because of that episode. They hadn't thought to find one. They found one, I think it was like just last week, called, he came out within hours, fixed their problem, done.
And that's the way it should be. And I'm hoping that, you know, in the next 10, 20 years, the rest of our RVing lives, that all of us can have good quality mobile RV repair people that can come within a few days' notice instead of having to wait weeks, if not months, to get these appointments at our dealers. And so many of us have dealers that are really far away. It's just so different than buying a car where there's a Ford dealer in every neighborhood. Some of us travel 2 hours to our dealer. So Carrie listed her mobile RV repairman and even put the number in the name. So if you have a good one, whoever you are out there in listener land, please go to that thread and give them a shout out, put their name, put their number on there. Let's get them some business and let's let our listeners know, hey, you've got a good mobile guy in your neighborhood.
Yeah, because we actually had a listener that was able to say, hell, I'm so glad I live in Texas near the quality, but not everybody does. And so it was nice that Carrie gave that specific information. And if all of our other listeners, because we have listeners across the country, if anybody else has those, you know, that information for other people in their area, would be super helpful. So we came up with that idea. We'll put the link to that forum thread in the show notes, okay?
And on a happier note than broken down RVs, also, I think Daryl started the thread on SiriusXM and on favorite stations because we talked about how we got SiriusXM back. And man, I'm so seriously thrilled to have SiriusXM back now in both of our cars, actually. Loving it. So Daryl just started a thread. Hey, like, what are your favorite SiriusXM stations? And he put a few of his, and then a few other people jumped in. So if you have a favorite SiriusXM station, head over to that forum thread and put that one down. Our listeners really like lean towards like classic vinyl and classic rock. And
there was a lot of classic rock. Like, I was surprised the Allman Brothers didn't show up in the thread, considering a lot of
not a lot of hip hop, not a lot of Yanni. It was rock and roll. Does Yanni have a SiriusXM channel?
No.
There's some of those SiriusXM channels that are like Rainbow, you know, synthesizer music.
So I could point out now that Jersey Camper, who's we know as Daryl, we met him last year at the Hershey Show, and we met him this year at the Balloon Festival. It was great to hang out with them again there. So he wrote in there, let's not, you know, be coy. He not only suggested his favorites like Classic Rewind and Classic Vinyl, he also suggested that we get our own show on the what is it called?
Rural Radio.
Rural Radio.
Daryl's suggesting that we have a that we get a Sirius XM show.
Right.
So if any of you out there in listener land think that's a great idea, maybe you could start a petition, call up Sirius XM.
No.
I don't know if that's like a better deal than doing your own podcast or not.
Know. That'll just be annoying.
I'll do Rural Radio.
So anyway, we were like, Rural Radio. So we like turned it on. We were in the car. And at the time that we turned it on, it was like the polka hour.
Oh, it was so good. So I had it on for 20 minutes and Stephanie's like, you realize that we're listening to the polka hour? And I was like, yeah, I do realize. I like the polka hour.
You were jamming.
It was happy music. Mm-hmm. And this is a happy podcast.
Yeah.
So maybe we could come before or after the polka hour. I would love the polka hour to come first and then RVFDA to come next.
Right. You were like really immediately on board with somehow aligning our show with the polka hour.
But let me get humble. I'll open up for the polka hour.
Right.
We've opened up for Third Eye Blind. We've opened up for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at one of the RV shows. Yeah. I'll open up for the polka hour.
Yeah. Polka's been around a lot longer than we have. We're okay with that. All right. So then anyway, Daryl started the thread like that, but then everybody was chiming in. We've got the blend on here, okay, and we do listen to the blend.
I do, but occasionally the blend just throws something out that I do not want in my blend.
Right, we're happy with it for a while. Oh, but this person, this is Sis for Me. They listen to Ozzy's Boneyard and Hair Nation.
I had an Ozzy phase.
Yeah.
And, I'm actually going off the rails on a crazy train right now. Back then, I wasn't. But I can go for some classic Ozzy.
Yeah.
You know, the bat was fake anyway that he bit into, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then Illegal Wood, she listed a bunch of, like, you know, her Margaritaville, 70s, 80s, 90s classic vinyl, right? And I like the decades. Like, when I'm all alone in the car, I rock out to the 90s station so hard. Like, I'm like, it just really brings back my youth for me. So I'll put on the 90s or the 80s. Both of them I can really jam out to.
I found a hilarious station on SiriusXM today. Yacht Rock Radio.
What is Yacht Rock?
See, you can't even perceive this. It's the type of rock music you would listen to if you had a yacht.
Like, oh, yacht. I was not thinking it was spelled that way.
Yeah,
what Yacht Rock Radio. What do people listen to who own yachts?
Hall & Oates? I don't know.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
I would think it was like Margaritaville. Like, that would, to me,
yeah,
like
it might be sort of
music.
Jimmy Buffett, but then there's some other musicians.
Right.
I didn't listen to Yacht Rock Radio.
Sounds
I just
like
I found
music,
it.
Yeah.
But why not RV Rock Radio?
Right, RV Rock Radio. Right, we need to infiltrate, like, Sirius. Okay, so, but this is what was funny about Legalwood's post. She also said that her downfall is the NHL station, because she can listen to that for hours. The hockey station. Hey, hockey mom.
Very relaxing.
Okay. All right.
I can't. The puck is so small, I can't even picture it.
Yeah. So then Shazam said that, you know, they like Lithium, and that her and her husband will sing like heartily along with Green Day or the Smashing Pumpkins, and their kids just like roll their eyes and just go nuts when their parents are just.
What was that
their
huge
group.
Green Day hit, like their biggest hit that
you
they played at all the proms and stuff?
Stop. It's like, what? You have sang on the last like three podcasts, I need you to not sing tonight. Like, it's just, you gotta, like, you can't like make this a habit where you're singing on every podcast.
I can do a little Green Day here and there myself.
All right, well, maybe next week when you come back, you can think of the song. I think you're thinking about Closing Time, right?
That's semi-sonic. You're so off.
Yeah, but no, I thought that that was the song you were
closing
singing.
Closing Time, every new beginning.
They
you
were
know, that's
playing
the sweetest
that.
Song ever. That's about like the birth of his son or daughter.
Yeah, it is. But they remember for a while when we were younger, they were playing that at like all the proms, all the weddings.
I saw them live at the Stone Pony.
That was a big one out there. Well, and then Auntie Pants, who's my favorite grandmother RVer ever. She takes her granddaughter RVing, and I just love that. And she's so invested in providing this experience for her granddaughter. She said, my granddaughter loves the Disney station.
We had that on today.
Oh, come on. That's so sweet.
They
played
Pink on the Disney station, because I guess that song is in the
one
soundtrack.
One of the Disney movies, probably.
The boys like that.
Zootopia.
Just like fire, yada, da, da, da.
And then she says they all love Classic Rewind. Now, we don't have Classic Rewind in our
presets.
I don't
do a lot of Classic Rewind.
Maybe we
yeah.
should try that out, because a couple of people mentioned it. It might be fun. Anyway, I love this thread. If you can go and add your SiriusXM stations to this thread, it would make me happy to see what all of our
listeners
out there
are listening to. Yeah,
I'd love
to see the thread grow a little bit.
To.
Exactly.
Yeah,
don't
fun.
Be. If you listen to Yacht Rock, you don't have to be embarrassed either. We're not going to – it's a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, we want to know about you if you listen to Yacht Rock. It's like, we're totally cool with that, and we want to welcome you into our very open
and
world.
I don't want to find out more about this Rural Radio.
All right. I think that about wraps it up for the news roundup.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy train.
I'm so sad about this singing pattern. We're going to have to talk about this off air. All right. Everybody, we have an amazing two segments with Evan Schmarter, who is my own personal RV cooking goddess. I love her. I'm so happy she came back on to just help us make the sort of complex art of cooking while you're traveling a little bit easy and a little bit more tasty.
And you want to talk about rock stars? Who's a bigger rock star?
No,
Ozzy Osbourne or Evan Schmarter?
I love Evan.
Evan Schmarter.
Yeah, I want her on my speed dial, but I don't know.
She's
if I can.
She's so positive. She's such an energetic, yes, positive, like, beacon of light in the
She's
RV
a light force.
Universe.
Evan Schmarter is a light force. She really
is. She is.
I want to
be able to talk to her even when we're not. Could you think we just call her sometimes?
Yeah, maybe
and talk
we can
to
set
her?
Up like a date.
We'll come down
like
here in the studio and we'll just chat.
A call date. Just Evan, let's just chat because we really do like her that much. All right. But we're not going to talk about that during the interview. We're actually going to talk about food, sauces, and marinades. Stay tuned. Cabela's is passionate about supporting families in their outdoor adventures.
They have everything you need to camp and start making memories that will be treasured for generations.
Check out Camp Cabela's website for fun articles and tips and tricks for getting your family into the great outdoors.
Camp Cabela's, it's in your nature. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our featured topic, Sauces and Marinades 101 with rock star Evan Schmarter, who is the producer and host of the RV Cooking Show and an international caravanner. You're going to want to hit pause right now and go follow her on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat.
At the RV Cooking Show, right?
Yeah, all at the RV Cooking Show. Evan, welcome back to the show.
Well, hey, it's great to be back, you guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's long overdue because you were on our show over a year ago on episode number 40 for Let's Get Grilling. And I'm going to be honest, it was one of my favorite episodes. You gave us so many good tips for grilling. I can't believe it's been this long since we've been able to organize another visit from you on the show.
And now that you're back, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Stephanie, so nice. But Jeremy, you're the one that I need to grill. I need to know. How'd that turn out?
I did some basic grilling. I am not a grilling stud yet, but I've been doing a little bit more grilling. So I think you'd be proud of me.
All right. Stephanie, do you concur?
I do. He has been grilling on a very basic level, but there hasn't been a lot of timing going on and stuff. There's not like good little timers set and everything.
Still a little bit spontaneous.
Yeah. There's a little off the cuff. Tough action going on.
Nothing wrong with that, I guess.
I do also want to note that now that it's your second time on the show, you're officially a friend of the show. And you have great status now.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, friends indeed, all of us.
Now, you gave us all of those basic grilling tips on Let's Get Grilling on episode number 40. The reason why we wanted to have you back was because, you know, a great piece of grilled meat is awesome, but really so many of us punch it up with either marinades, which we use, you know, beforehand to prep our meat, or the sauces that we put on afterwards. And, you know, I think that that's a tricky thing for a lot of RV cooks or grillers and, you know, smokers and all those people that love to prepare food on the road. Because, you know, when you're meal planning, you look at these recipes and it feels like there's so many ingredients in the list. And, you know, it's harder to do those, I feel like, off the cuff. So I thought, I'm going to reach out to the expert, my personal RV cooking expert, Evan Schmarter, and I'm going to ask her to help me develop sort of standards in the marinades and sauces category. So are you up for that challenge?
I am ready. And I, by the way, only do this for my friends.
Well, and we are friends of the show. Perfect. This has worked out perfectly. All right. So we want to start off with marinades. I figured that was a good way to start because that's prior to, you know, actually cooking the meat. And a lot of people prepare it ahead of time. But, you know, is there tips that you can give our listeners for packing the RV with ingredients that are going to help them create the most, you know, delicious marinades and sauces?
Oh, absolutely. basically, a marinade is an acid, so a vinegar and an oil, some spices, some herbs, that type of thing. So one of the things that you have to have in your RV is vinegar. I suggest an apple cider vinegar. If you can only carry one, it's all around delicious. You can use it in lots of different marinades. So I like Bragg's. They've got a beautiful brand of apple cider vinegar. You can use that. A nice red wine vinegar works very well, and a balsamic vinegar. If you can swing those, you're good to go.
All right, I had two in our RV on our last trip, and it was an apple cider vinegar and a balsamic.
She's smiling like a little girl right now. She's so proud. She's so proud of herself that she had two of the three.
Yeah, I had two of the three. Yeah, I didn't have the red wine vinegar, but you know.
Okay, well that's okay. You can always stock up.
All right. So what else?
Oils. You definitely need some oils. A nice high quality olive oil is great. One of my favorites lately is avocado oil. It's really healthy and it's delicious. And a canola oil if you want something that is very neutral.
Now, Evan, do you know, like on the avocado oil, which I don't use, so I'm just interested in learning more about it. Does that have a high smoke point, or is it something that I would use in sauteing, or is it only something that I would use when I'm like making, you know, using it like in a marinade or something?
It has a beautiful high smoke point.
Okay, so I can use that for sauteing or...
Exactly. You definitely can use it on the stovetop, but it's just got a lovely flavor. It's great in a salad dressing or a marinade as well.
Okay, so olive oil, avocado oil, and canola?
Canola.
Would be canola's your top three picks.
Yeah, canola's my least favorite, but it's probably a little more readily available and probably a little more cost effective.
Why your least favorite?
Well, I don't think it's as healthy as the avocado and the olive oils.
You know, though, and I agree, I use it actually for my popcorn. I can't find any oil that makes my popcorn as good as my canola oil. So that is my go-to for my popcorn.
Well, try avocado oil. That's my favorite. But let me give you one tip on your canola oil. Make sure when you're buying canola oil that you look for expeller pressed. So what that means is kind of a first press that uses natural pressing mechanisms. They don't use any chemicals to press the oil out of the rape seed is what canola is made from. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to have canola oil that's been chemically processed, right? So expeller pressed is the way to go.
Okay. And you're going to pay a little more for that, but you're always paying for quality when it comes to food, usually, I think.
Yes. Unless you're fortunate enough to be near a Trader Joe's.
I know. Believe me, that's where I get a lot of my coconut oil there too. Much more affordable.
Yes.
Okay. So those are our vinegars and our oils. And we need those in order to create marinades, absolutely. But what about all, like, deciding about all of your other spices? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me throw in one more liquid. May I?
Oh, you may.
Soy sauce.
Okay, good, yeah.
Soy sauce is great. It's wonderful to have. Or Bragg's makes an amino, which is like a soy sauce. You can use that as well, but that's really nice to have. You can use that again in lots of different ways. Now, spices. I like to have blends. I love Caribbean jerk seasoning. I love to have an Italian blend. I love to have a Greek blend. And I find if you have just a few blends around the house, you're usually pretty good to go for almost any marinade that you want to make.
All right. So me, instead of individually trying to stock your basil, your oregano, you know, all of those things, your curry, what you want to do is look for different maybe like flavor profiles in the spice section and get a bunch of different kinds of blends that would sort of cover different flavors you're going for.
Yeah, and you know what? Rather than going down the spice aisle and buying jars, if you can find some place that sells them in bulk and just buy a tablespoon or two of the flavors that you really like and try them. Because what happens is spices go bad. And if you're not in your RV cooking all the time and going through bottles of spices, they're going to lose their flavor. As soon as you open them, they start to lose their flavor. So yeah, just go to a bulk section, bring your little tablespoon, just put a little bit in a bag and give it a go.
All right, because otherwise you're just going to end up throwing things out at the end of the season.
It sounds like coffee. You want it fresh. Yeah.
You want it fresh. And speaking of fresh, if you want to use a basil or you want to use a cilantro, those are really best fresh.
Right. So then also think about those kinds of things that you're going to pick up maybe from a farm stand or something while you're traveling and on the road.
Exactly.
And that's always something that you really stress, right? Using those ingredients where you're traveling.
Absolutely. Because, gosh, there's nothing more fun than wandering around the farm market and talking to the person who just cut the lettuce or picked the herbs that morning.
Okay. So anything else that we should stock? I mean, that to me sounds, we've got oils, we've got vinegar, soy sauce, which is such a good addition. And I'm so glad that you reminded all of us that we can do a lot with that when we're traveling. And then some like spice blends. Anything else?
Spice blends. Don't forget the red pepper, the crushed red pepper flecks.
Yes. Okay. We gotta add a little BAM sometimes.
You might. Okay. And one more thing that's kind of different and that a lot of people may or may not know about is fish sauce. Do you have fish sauce in your RV?
I don't have it in my RV. I have it in my kitchen. I don't think I've ever brought it into my RV.
Oh my God. It's stinky.
She travels with four boys.
Yeah, they're not stinkier than my four boys.
That are totally stinky.
Fish sauce, used very sparingly, half a dozen drops maybe, provides what they call a umami flavor. So it's one of the taste profiles. It's not sweet. It's not savory. It's not sour. But it's kind of like a combination. It's a little bit salty, and it just brings out the in the food.
Okay.
So it's nice to have.
I wonder how I spell that in the show notes. Yvonne says it brings out the All right, we'll get that down. We'll practice.
Okay, you worked on that, right? Okay. So absolutely. If you can get it, carry it around, it lasts forever.
And I guess maybe people should maybe mix it out of the RV if they're really sensitive to smells.
Yeah, well, you know what? It usually has a little snap top on it. So you open up the snap top, you just put a couple drops, shake into your dish, whatever, and you snap it shut. Make sure you wipe the outside of it well.
Okay. So anything else before? I feel like you've actually just upped my game in my pantry for the next time I pack, which is like next week. So this is good.
Stephanie interview. We interview for selfish reasons.
Oh, yeah, totally. This is like me calling up my girlfriend. Hey, what should I do?
Anytime. Now, Stephanie, don't forget to bring along some garlic.
Yes.
Nice sweet onions and some shallots.
Okay. And then are you just assuming that we're always going to have some fresh lemons and limes hanging around?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I do. But, you know, some people may not.
Oh, yeah. Definitely better than the squeeze stuff.
Right. Yeah. I can really tell the difference in the flavor of the lemon juice and the squeezed stuff as opposed to a real lemon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Definitely. So we have our pantry all like stocked and ready to go. What can we do with all of these ingredients that you just told us to stock in our RV? How are we going to make these into delicious marinades that we're going to, you know, soak our meats in before we cook them?
Oh, we are going to mix them and match them. So however we feel the night we're getting ready to prepare dinner or marinate something for the grill, whatever type of meat or fish or vegetable that you have, what you're going to do is you're going to think about a basic recipe for a marinade. And the basic recipe is this: 3 parts acid to 1 part oil. Okay? So that's 3 parts vinegar or 3 parts lemon to 1 part oil.
Okay? I'm a little shocked right now because I think I usually do more. I end up with more oil than acid, and I'm feeling like I've been incompetently compiling marinades for a long time.
You know what you've been doing? You've been making salad dressing.
Yeah, probably a little more. Okay. So 3 parts acid to 1 part oil, and then what?
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with good salad dressings.
Why, thank you.
So to that mixture, if you want to make something that's going to go with perhaps a tzatziki sauce that we might talk about later, you might think of marinating some chicken in some apple cider vinegar, a little bit of avocado or canola oil. You might put in some Greek seasoning. You might think about putting in some fresh dill, okay, a little salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic. Put it all in a Ziploc bag, toss the meat in there, squish it all around, and let it marinate.
For how long, though, Evan? How do we know? Because I think that that's something that, you know, trips people up a lot.
Sure. You can let a vinegar and oil marinade sit for at least an hour, okay? You should let it sit for at least an hour. You can let it sit longer if you'd like. You can
at most how long?
Overnight.
Okay.
Overnight. Now, here's where the rub comes in. If you're using citrus like lemon or lime, that acid will actually cook the flesh.
Right. That's ceviche, basically, right? You're like creating ceviche in your marinade.
That's a ceviche. Yes. So if you're using a lemon or lime, then only 30 to 40 minutes max.
Okay. Any citrus, 30 to 40 minutes. So if you add citrus, that's going to be a quick marinade. But if you just stick with your vinegars and your oils and your seasonings, you could do that the night before and marinate it overnight, or you could do it an hour or so in advance.
Exactly.
Once, I think another thing that people really wonder about when they're doing their marinade is once they take the meat out of the marinade, okay? I've heard a little bit of controversy over whether you like pat off the meat so that it doesn't have any liquid on it, or whether you just kind of throw it, like leave that liquid around the meat and like throw it on the grill. What do you do?
That's quite a picture. Yeah. Well, you know, if you ask me, I don't dry it off. I take it right out of the Ziploc bag that it's marinated in, and I shake it a little bit, because what happens is when you set it on the grill, if it's got oil on it, it's going to flame up, and I don't want it to flame up. I don't think when it flames up and you're using a propane grill, I don't think it tastes good. I think it leaves some of the propane taste on the meat, and it's not really good for you to have that char on the meat.
Right.
So I shake it off gingerly and then lay it down carefully, and that's what I do.
Okay. So you don't pat dry. We don't need to do that step.
No. No. Okay. All no. Right. And now, also, are you going to ask about the
I was going to ask about the guests. The other controversy.
So if you have leftover marinade in, say, the Ziploc bag that you've done your meat in, you take your meat off, you shake it gently, you gingerly lay it on the grill, close the grill lid so it can start to cook. If you want to use that marinade, you have to put it into a saucepan and boil it because it's had raw meat.
So, right? Yeah. So if you're saying if I bring it to a boil,
yes,
a running boil, and I boil it for just a significant amount of time.
Few minutes.
Yeah, that it's safe then to use.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the way that you can get around that is when you make your marinade, you've got your little Ziploc bag and you've got your vinegar and your oil and your spices and garlic and everything else you're going to put in. Mix it all together before you put the meat in and take out maybe a quarter cup. Set that aside and reserve that, and then you can use that at the table without any issue whatsoever. And then the rest of the marinade that you've marinated the meat in, you can just toss.
I think you just blew some people's minds with that one.
That's so organized.
Well, you know, this way you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to dirty another pan. If you're cooking outside, who wants to start the stove up? But you want that flavor, right?
Right. You want to be able to add that on afterwards. Yeah. So it really kicks it up a notch. Okay. All right. So we're going to try to like add that to the checklist and have your reserve marinade off to the side ready to go.
Sounds easier than doing it after.
Yeah, the boiling in a pan, it absolutely is. You just have to think about it. You have to be like, this is what I do. I am the person who reserves marinade.
And you know what? If push comes to shove and you forget, just whip up another small batch.
Right. You already know the ingredients that you put in it, so you can do that. So that's a really good point. If you are in any way uncomfortable with the idea of boiling it, even if somebody says, hey, it's safe, you boil it, you let it do, it's fine. If you're uncomfortable with it, then don't do it. Just whip up another batch because it's not hard.
Right.
It takes a couple seconds, right?
Unless you can remind yourself to just reserve some.
Now, before, I'm going to ask you about a couple of your favorite marinades, but before we do that, I want to mention that you actually have an RV kitchen pantry checklist that you told me that you'd be willing to send to me that I can post for all of our listeners. So I just want to make sure I tell that to everybody listening. If you go over to rvfamilytravelatlas.com to the show notes for episode 101, I'm going to put this PDF file into the show notes. If you click on it, you're going to be able to print it out. And that's a super awesome thing for you to offer all of our listeners, Evan. Thank you.
Well, goodness gracious, my pleasure. And it has all sorts of things, dried goods, canned goods, liquids, spices.
Yeah, this is not just a marinades checklist. This is your soup to nuts pantry checklist.
Exactly. Even some blank lines to add things that I haven't thought of yet.
Well, I'm excited to take a look at it. So I know everybody else will be too. But so everybody will go over there and look at that. But in the meantime, what are your go-to marinades that you love to do when you're cooking in the RV?
Yeah, well, you know, there's one that I love for salmon, and it's super, super simple. It's a little bit of avocado oil. It's a little bit of apple cider vinegar, but just a little bit. It's got some soy sauce in it. It's got some garlic. It's got some fresh ginger, and it's got some red pepper.
So you really love fish, right? You really love grilling fish when you're in your RV?
Oh, I love fish. I love veg. I don't eat a lot of beef, but I eat everything else.
Okay. And I like the fact that you just mentioned the ginger component, because that's always something that really kind of appeals to me in a marinade.
Oh, it's so good. It's so easy. And if you happen to have, Stephanie, some sesame oil, some dark sesame oil that you keep in your refrigerator, because that's where it needs to be kept.
Mm-hmm. Because it'll go rancid otherwise, right?
Because it'll go rancid faster than you'll probably use it. Just put a little dip of that in as well. And for salmon, oh, that it's a no-brainer. It's super simple.
Any other marinades that are your favorites?
I like the basic oil vinegar and then some sort of ethnic spice, like a Greek or an Italian, or if you like a little spicy harissa, you can add that.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's
you got me.
It's an African or a Middle Eastern type of spice. It's basically peppers and some different spices. And I usually buy it in a paste. It comes in a paste or a can. Also comes powdered, but it's lovely, but it's spicy.
All right. So here's my takeaway, Evan. I think that this is like, so after listening to you, you actually have already helped me think about the way that I kind of stock my pantry for marinades. And I realized that I really do like thinking in ethnic flavor profiles. Like you mentioned the Greek, you know, seasoning. And Jeremy and I both love, Greek, you know, flavors and everything.
We don't do it enough.
We go out for it all the time. It's our go-to meal if we're going out. We love Greek food. But we don't do that at home a lot. And also, like, I love a lot of Asian profiles, you know. So if I had those spice blends to be able to just do a oil, a vinegar, and that spice with a variety of poultry and meats. I mean, that's so easy. And it would really bring, I think, a lot of different flavors to our RV table.
Absolutely. And if you're going to go Asian, toss in a little soy sauce and some fresh ginger.
Yeah, that really hit the mark for me. Like, oh yeah, the ginger and the soy. And I love those flavors. And I never cook with them when I'm in the RV. Yeah.
It's so simple. And get fresh. You might as well. You've got a refrigerator, right?
Stephanie's always fresh.
You don't have to tell me to get fresh.
She's a Jersey girl. Tom Waits wrote a song about her.
Yeah. All All right. Well, before Jeremy goes on any further, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to move on to sauces because Yvan already let the cat out of the bag to us. And we've heard about some great sauces she's going to share with us and her favorites and how to make them. So stay tuned. Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for part two of our interview with Yvan Schmarter for our feature topic, Sauces and Marinades 101. And Yvan is the producer and co-host of the RV Cooking Show, and you're going to want to check her out on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat under RV Cooking Show. So let's just dive into some sauces, why don't we?
Yeah, that was, I mean, for me, there was so much good, just basic, helpful information in that first segment about marinades. I feel like I just kind of got my mind organized, right?
Oh, and Yvan's been a full-time RVer 16 years, Yvan?
16 years.
Yeah, so she's doing all of this. She's done all of this in her RV, so it hits a sweet spot for our audience.
Right. So now, you know, I really emphasized to Yvan that I was looking for those like basics that could be used in a lot of different situations with the marinades. You know, like what are those oils or vinegars that can be transferred and we can create a lot of different flavors with it. Well, I think that sauces are, you know, I want to go along the same lines. But first, let's just start with the basics, Yvan. Like what's the difference between a marinade and a sauce?
Well, a marinade is something that you prepare and then you soak your meat or your vegetable or your fish in that, and the meat takes on the flavor of the marinade. Okay, so it can stand alone, it's flavored. The sauce is something that you would serve on the side or on top of your meat or your fish or your chicken. Sometimes all you need to do is salt and pepper your veg or your meat and grill it and then serve it with the sauce on the side.
Right, so we don't want to necessarily combine a marinade with a sauce.
Well, you could. For example, I would make a wonderful Greek marinade. And I would marinate chicken, for example, and then I would serve a tzatziki sauce with it.
Yes. One of our very favorite sauces in this house. So I'm really glad that you brought that one up to talk about on this show. Okay, so right.
And you say in our house. So we need to transfer this and get this going in the RV.
Never made a tzatziki, I don't think, while we've been in the RV. Okay, so what else can you tell us about sauces in general before we dive into the specifics?
Sure. So there are cold sauces, like the tzatziki that we're going to talk about, and there are warm sauces, like a roux or an enchilada sauce that we can talk about as well. And it depends. I mean, if it's summer and you're camping, you probably don't want to stand over the stove and make a hot dish. You probably want something cool and refreshing to serve next to your grilled meat or vegetable.
Okay, so you're going to give us some examples of all of those kinds, I think, right?
I am.
All right, where do you want to start?
Well, would you like to start with the tzatziki?
Because it's at the top of our list, sure.
Do you make that now?
I do. We truly love tzatziki. We could eat it on a pita or anything. Like, we could eat it all the time. I traveled in Greece years ago. I was there for quite a few months, and I'm just addicted to that flavor. It's something about it that I could, if I had to do one type of ethnic cuisine every single day for the rest of my life, that's what I would
choose. And it's a great summer flavor now.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is. So it'll be interesting to see how our recipes compare.
All right. So let's go.
Okay. Okay. So I like to use Faye Greek 0% yogurt. I like it because it's thick and it has a nice tart flavor. Okay, to my tzatziki, I also add grated cucumber, not sliced, but ooh, grated.
How come you grate it?
I grate it because it just seems to open the flavor up more. It makes the pieces small, so you get some in every bite.
Texture-wise, that sounds really nice to me, too, instead of like too big of a chunk.
I've always liked the chunks, but tell me, what do you grate it with? Do you just use a regular grater, or do you have one of those like special spiralers?
No, just a box grater or a cheese grater. Now, but the trick to that is it's different than when you just cube it or you cut it into small pieces. You have to squeeze it dry.
Right, because otherwise it'll get runny.
Otherwise it'll be runny.
Okay.
Right. So I grate it. I squeeze it dry. So to my tzatziki, I add lemon juice, fresh. I add garlic and lots of it, minced garlic, fresh minced garlic. I add dill. I add salt and pepper to taste. And then I put some beautiful Greek olive oil in it.
Oh, okay. So I've never put oil in mine before.
Oh, and then when I get ready to serve it, I top it with just a few drops of olive oil and some dill sprigs. That's it.
Okay, so no vinegar in that.
No, the lemon juice does it for me.
Okay, all right. So then what types of things would you serve that your tzatziki sauce with?
Ooh, I love to make a Slovaki, right? So meat on a stick. Mm-hmm. Basically, marinated chicken, for example. So you take the chicken, cut it into cubes, make the marinade in a Ziploc bag. Once it's marinated, you put the chicken on a stick, on a skewer, you grill it. Then you take it off the grill. You've got a nice warm pita waiting for it. You lay it down like it's a little pig in a blanket. You top it with some lettuce, some tomatoes, some lettuce, tomato, onion, some tzatziki. You grab it, you fold it up and you grab it and you pull the stick out and you eat it.
Yeah, it's the best part.
do you do that at home?
We love souvlaki. Yep.
We
make it and we eat it.
Make it and you eat it. Absolutely. And it's good with shrimp too.
Okay.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
No, wow. And I don't ever make it with shrimp, but that totally makes sense. That sounds like a great meal, especially on a hot day. Yes, like that sounds like the perfect refreshing meal at the end of a day.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
All right. So what other kinds of sauce is your favorite go-to?
Well, there is the Argentinian sauce, the chimichurri. Do you know chimichurri?
Yeah, I don't make it a lot. It's funny because I know it's so popular because it's so multifaceted, right? I mean, it just goes along with so many different types of meats. And I know that's what they do in Argentinian cooking is basically they just like make a bazillion different kinds of meats, right? And then serve it with that.
Right. And you can too. I understand you're going to be smoking some meat.
Yes, I have a smoker that I am currently experimenting with. So I need to know more. What am I going to do?
Yum. Perfect. So if you smoke some beef or some pork, you can make a lovely chimichurri that a lot of people shy away from it because they think that it's an awful lot of work. But really, your chimichurri is parsley fresh, oregano fresh, a little oil and vinegar, some garlic. I like to add a shallot, some red pepper flakes, and some salt.
And do you do it in a, like I travel with a, like one of those little like the ninjas in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. Do you do yours in like a blender kind of a thing like that? Or do you just chop it by hand and mix it by hand?
I chop it by hand because I like the pieces to be larger.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mince it, actually. I mince it fine, but still where the pieces are recognizable.
And you would just top any kind of pork or beef or chicken with that? You would put that on that?
Absolutely. You'd put it beside it. You'd put it on top of it. You would put it on bread if you wanted to dip some bread into it. You might sprinkle it over some vegetables. You might mix it up with a little bit of salad dressing.
Another good one for a hot day.
I love the idea of just getting like a nice loaf of bread somewhere locally when you're traveling and then doing something like this.
That's like my favorite way to eat. Like in the summer, you just get a loaf of bread and you just have like dips in front of you and spreads and olives and I'm good.
Oh, perfect. A little bit of cheese, maybe?
Yes, of course. There's always cheese at my table.
Oh, yes. A little manchego cheese would be great with this.
Yeah, I love that. It just sounds like such a fresh kind of a meal. Now, I know that sometimes we're traveling and it's not so hot and it's not so summery. Sometimes we want something that's a little more comforting. And you just had mentioned an enchilada sauce before, which sounds awesome.
I did, and I do this all the time. In fact, I was making this before I really knew what I was doing, and it's a roux, right? So a lot of times I'll cook chicken on the stovetop when it's cooler out, and you, like you said, you want something a little more comforting. So I'll take the chicken, and I'll cut it into strips or large chunks, and I will toss it with flour, and I'll heat up a little avocado oil or olive oil in my skillet, and then I put the chicken in. And I let it start to brown. And then what I do is I take some of that flour that was in the bag that I used to flour the chicken, and I put that in the pan as well. I start to stir it around, and it starts to get thick like a paste, right? What you can do after that is you take some chicken broth, and you put it right into the pot, right into the pan where you sauteed the chicken and where you've got the flour and whatnot, and it'll go... And smoke will come up and it'll steam and you'll go, oh my gosh, and it'll seize up really tight. Don't worry. It's all okay. You just add a little more chicken broth and keep stirring and it turns into a really lovely sauce.
Right. And emphasis on the keep stirring. It's an active motion there, creating that roux, right?
Well, you know, it is, but it's more forgiving than you'd think.
Okay.
It's more, you know, you get the broth in, and then what's going to happen is you're going to let it bubble. And when it starts to bubble, it starts to thicken. If it gets too thick, you add a little more broth.
Now, you've mentioned, so you have the oil, then you do the flour, and then you're doing the chicken broth to make that nice, creamy, you know, texture to it. Then do you add other, then is that when you add in your flavors and your spices afterwards?
That is. So if you wanted to take this roux and make an enchilada sauce, easy peasy. So you would do the roux just like I talked about, but then you would add some chili powder to it. Maybe you'd add a little bit of garlic powder. Maybe you'd add a little bit of oregano. Maybe cumin. I don't love cumin, so I don't add it, but you might. You want a little kick, you might add a little cayenne pepper. Stir it up, taste it, let it bubble a little bit. The longer you cook the chili powder, sometimes it gets bitter, so be careful about that.
Okay.
Just keep tasting it, and once it tastes right to you, I mean, it has to cook a little bit, but once it tastes right to you, you're good to go.
All right, so it sounds like that would be a good place for a blend, too. If you have that blend of spices, that's like an enchilada, kind of like, or a seasoning, that's a little more like that you wouldn't have all of the individual cumin and, you know, those different spices.
Yeah, but, you know, you're going to use a lot more chili powder. I think, Stephanie, in this case, you might want to go separate.
Okay, so I have always, that's okay for me because I've always kept chili powder separate in my RV. I have an actual full chili powder. For some reason, that seems to be a go-to. Well, you know why? My boys will eat tacos any day of the week. So you know how like a lot of parents have their go-to like macaroni and cheese. My kids won't touch macaroni and cheese, but they'll eat tacos and rice and beans every single day.
And they'll call it Taco Tuesday no matter what day it is.
Oh, I love that.
They'll eat that for leftover breakfast. Like they'll just always eat rice and beans. So I probably use a little more chili powder than the average person.
Oh, how great is that?
Yeah. So, but enchiladas, we could probably work enchiladas into the mix. All right. Do you have any other sauces or is that we had tzatziki. What was our second one?
Chimichurri.
And then we had an enchilada sauce. Anything else?
And of course the lovely roux that you can use to make a chicken and mushroom sauce or anything else that you want to do with that.
Right. So that's super flexible. That's just the base for almost anything that you want to make for a more comfort meal kind of experience. Okay.
Exactly. You want to make a bechamel instead of broth, you put milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's going to give you the more creamy sauce.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, there's also guacamole, pico de gallo. Those are both really lovely sauces, sort of dips. That you can make.
And you can transfer your thinking of those things about the guacamole and the salsa to a dip, and you can say, hey, I could top some great meat with this too, or great fish with this that I just grilled up, or shrimp like you mentioned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention pesto.
Oh, I do travel with that. I don't make it though when I'm traveling. I will make it at home, but I always travel with I love the
Trader
Joe's.
This last 3 week trip, you were rocking the pesto.
Because I'll put that on a piece of bread with some tomato any day of the week.
Some mozzarella.
So listen, why don't you just make extra pesto, freeze it in some of those small ball jars, and bring it along.
And I have the small ball jars, so I can do that. It has to be on my list, Evan. That's the trick. It has to be on my list.
Okay. If you're already making, you might as well make twice as much.
Right. And then you can freeze it in the ball jar. And then if I'm in my RV, do you put it in the refrigerator to defrost ahead of time?
No. I open up my freezer, unscrew my jar, work my spoon down into it.
And it breaks up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. To use it. Because I love pesto in the summertime. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's so good. And then, you know, you might experiment instead of making a green pesto. Why don't you experiment with peppers, with red peppers and some tomatoes?
And you're going to do all the same in terms of the oil and everything, all the same things for your pesto, but you're just going to use the roasted red pepper. You're going to use roasted red peppers instead?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Time for great Jersey tomatoes, right? right around the corner. Yeah. We're getting there.
Oh, my goodness. And how about hummus?
Well, that's another thing that my boys will eat every day of the week. So that's a go-to in our house.
And did you make it?
Yeah. Sometimes. I used to be so much better. It was funny. My boys are 7 now. When they were between the ages of 0 and 5, I don't think they had like any prepared food ever. And then once school started, it's funny when you have to pack lunches and everything. It feels like it's more complicated.
It's more complicated.
Yeah, it is more complicated. So they have a particular brand of hummus that is the favorite. So that brand of hummus is my go-to. But I used to make homemade hummus. And you know what I used to make that people die for? Hummus, but out of lima beans.
Ooh.
And it is a hit at parties. I'm telling you, I put out this lima bean dip, and you do it with lima beans, olive oil and lemon and Parmesan cheese. It's like really a lot of the same things that you're going to find, you know, salt, pepper, garlic. And it is so delicious. And people will sit there and they'll eat it and they'll say, what is this? This is delicious. And you're like, it's lima bean dip. And they're like, what?
What? Yeah, right?
Yeah. So, you know, when I'm feeling fancy, I go for my lima bean dip or my hummus. But sometimes it's the package.
Well, I'm going to try your lima bean dip, but I have to tell you that I, too, have a favorite store brand. It's a go-to.
Are you going to share?
Well, it's Trader Joe's.
Yeah, okay. I like Trader Joe's, too, and my boys don't like that one as much, so it's funny.
Oh, I like that one a lot.
You like the Trader Joe's, too. Yeah, so we had a nice Trader Joe's when we were traveling outside of Boston on this trip.
And it was Normandy perfect. Farms. We discovered the Trader Joe's right up the road.
So it was halfway, about halfway into our trip, so we were ready to restock on a lot of things.
We restocked and brought all that Trader Joe's stuff up to Maine.
It was so exciting.
It was perfect.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you don't have one around, and it's like, okay, well, what are you going to do? I guess I have to make it.
Yeah, and it's easy. And that thing is, like I said before, I do travel, and I've recommended it on our gear guides in the past. I travel with the Nutra Ninja, and I can make salad dressings. You know, I make Caesar salad dressing so easy, in that you can make a hummus or any kind of dip or salsa so easy if you have one of those. It's like a bullet kind of a thing.
Right.
And
right.
It just sits there on the countertop. It hardly takes any room, and it really makes creating marinades or dressings and I, of course, do smoothies a lot. It makes that such a snap. So a lot of what you just shared, I can do with the equipment in my kitchen, you know, already.
You really can. And if you've got that nifty little tool, why not put it to use?
Oh, and I do, because it's fast, you know, and that's just a lot of being a mom with 3 little ones. Like, you know, a lot of it is speed. It's like speed cooking.
Right, right. And cleanup's easy.
Yes, exactly. And that's always a big benefit too. So I can kind of definitely transfer a lot of your tips to what I already have in there. And again, I can't wait to see your kitchen pantry checklist that you're sharing with everybody, because I just think, in addition to the tips you just gave us for sauces and marinades, I think I'm really going to benefit from seeing your pantry checklist.
And everyone needs to go back and listen to the grilling 101 episode with Yvonne that we did about a year ago, and that was episode 40.
Number 40, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where else can our listeners find you online? Because there's a lot of you online, girl.
I am all over the place, I got to tell you. Certainly on Facebook. I've got an RV Cooking Show Facebook fan page. We post lots of different things on there. Certainly Instagram, RV Cooking Show, Twitter, RV Cooking Show. And I'm just starting to ramp up that Snapchat presence. So if any of you guys are out there and you're snappers, I don't know, is that the right term, you guys? Snappers?
Well, it can be.
It can be if you
this
say so.
This is how
so.
These things work, Yvonne. You say it and it becomes a thing.
They'll find you, hopefully. We'll try to find
we'll snap
you. We're still trying to figure it out too. So we'll see if we can find you on Snapchat and be fellow snappers. So snappers.
I love it. I love it. So everybody out there, just look for some fellow snappers.
Yeah, we'll figure it out together. Well, Yvonne, I love following you on social media because you're such a cosmopolitan RVer, and I really love that. You're not just going out into the middle of nowhere. I love how you just get in the middle of these beautiful urban places. I know you've been hanging out up in Montreal, and you know, you just really capture the spirit to me of what a traveler is, because you're just seeing what's there and you're eating the food and you're experiencing the culture. So it's a joy to watch you travel.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much for coming on our show. We can't wait to have you back a third time and a fourth time and a fifth time.
Because that's what friends do.
Come back for more.
All right, everybody.
The next time I have a question, Yvonne, you're on.
Make sure you go and check out Yvonne on social media. Thanks again. We really look forward to chatting with you in the future.
Thanks, you guys. It's been such a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories.
And now is the perfect time to book your stay for an activity-packed, themed weekend this fall.
From tailgate parties to pumpkin festivals to Halloween celebrations, Jellystone Parks have calendars full of fall fun.
And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home.
Visit CampJellystone.com to find a Jellystone Park near you. Thank you so much for listening to episode 101 of RVFTA, and it was one of our 101 episodes. We love this whole 101 series we've got going, right? It's like started with Camp Coffee. What else did we
do?
Photography 101.
Grilling
101.
With Yvonne, yeah.
Yeah, these are fun episodes to do, and maybe eventually we'll do 102 episodes, do you think? I mean, I would like to do a Camp Coffee 102, a Photography 102.
Right, so that's the goal going into the next year, is that we can do these sort of advanced, right, episodes on these same topics. Absolutely.
And thank you so much to Yvonne Schmarter. She is just a gem, an absolute gem. And thank you to Cabela's, to Campers Inn, and to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks.
And also to Progressive, because we are playing Where in the U.S. is Flo, presented by Progressive Insurance. Head on over to our Instagram account at RV Family Travel Atlas, where we post a picture every week of Flo on her epic summer road trip. If you can guess her location correctly, you will be entered to win some very cool Progressive swag.
See you at the campground.
I'll see you making sauces at the campground.
See you making some sauces and marinades at the campground.
Bye-bye. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three sons. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family.
And now you're flat. You were perfect before, except you said the wrong word. You were hitting it, and then just was the wrong word. Now you're just flat. Like, nah, nah,
nah, nah, nah, that's how I sound right now?
That was flat compared to how you just read it. Go ahead. You were doing lovely. You just said a word. It wasn't even wrong. It just sounded really off. Our three sons. It's like an Arthur Miller play. It's like an American tragedy.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family You're making laugh with your faces. Stop.
What faces? Come on.
You're making faces.
No, I'm not. I really mean it. You sounded great. Go ahead. Come on. We could finish. Like you said, we could finish
so
this.
Right. So stop making me laugh. Okay.
All right.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV.
I am not making you laugh.
You are. You're, no, you're I'm like not. Doing this.
I think you've been drinking.